Pastor Mike Hoggard, coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. There is no doubt in my mind that we are living in an age of growing and advancing evil. We've been studying for the last two episodes of this series, the capstone, the placement of the capstone over the unfinished pyramid, the Great Seal of the United States of America. And I want you to remember that this whole series has been talking about that Great Seal and what it means and what it represents. And we've tried to cover as many aspects of this as we can in order for God's people, anyone interested for that matter, to be fully informed, fully educated on exactly what's going on in this world. When the Illuminati, those men in secret societies, those men who practice Kabbalah, those evil men who seek to dominate, take over planet Earth with the aid of the ones who are illuminating them, and we're talking about evil spirits, they practice a religion. And some of them might even be atheist, it doesn't matter. They still practice a religion that has encompassed every corner of this earth. It has reached into all areas of government, finance, industry, education, religion, and homes everywhere. It is advancing, it is taking over in this country because of the lack of the teaching and the preaching and the belief in God's Word. And I've said this many, many times in practically everything I do. When this is removed, this is what comes in its place. We are, as in the days of Genesis 11, our world, evil people, Illuminati, it's not just the Illuminati. It's evil people everywhere, whether they belong to a secret society or not. You may have a neighbor on one side who's a old factory worker, you know, one of them old guys, you know. Been a Mason now for 40 years, all right? Goes to Masonic Lodge and drinks it up over there and everything like that. Never discusses Masonry with you. And you think, yeah, he's in the Illuminati. I got my eyes on him. Meanwhile, the guy next to you, he's not a Mason. He's not an odd fellow. He's not a Mormon. He's not a Roman Catholic. He's not really much of anything. He may have went to church when he was a kid. But other than that, he doesn't practice any sort of form of organized religion or ritual. You might think, well, he's a decent guy. But let me tell you about that guy. Number one, he's lost and he needs to be saved. You need to think both of these guys in that light. But number two, this guy over here, this neighbor over here, he is just as much a part of Satan's plan, Satan's kingdom, and the rebuilding of the Tower of Babel as the Freemason next door. Why? Because they both have the same spirit. This spirit, I can recognize it in the Bible as an elemental spirit. I'll show you what I mean. You know, the four elements, we've been talking about that. Earth, air, fire, and water, right? Ephesians chapter 2. This, to me, nails it. These two neighbors of yours that are lost, they're unsaved. You might think of them as good people. It doesn't matter. According to the Bible, you used to belong to the same brotherhood as they are in now. And I'm talking about being a son of Belial. The original SOBs, all right? Sons of Belial. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to, here it is, the prince of the power of the air, an elemental spirit. the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you were a son of Belial, you were following an elemental witchcraft spirit, the prince of the power of the air, which of course is Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, the devil, the serpent, all that, all right? But these two guys, they're in league with each other by nature of the spirit that leads them. You, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, who, and I've been, boy, God's dealing with me, I've been teaching and trying to emphasize love, not hate for these guys, not hate. Because remember, you used to play on the same team as them. And they wouldn't mind having you back. And every now and then, you've thought about it. Love these two men. Is it possible that God can use you, or anybody else for that matter, to be a standing witness and a testimony of the truth of the Word of God and the love of God toward them, in that while they are yet sinners, Christ still died for both of them the way He died for you? And so anyway, love them and pray for them. But rest assured, apart from either one of them, any of your neighbors, anybody you know, family members, workmates, people you do business with or whatever, rest assured, apart from them yielding to the Holy Spirit, giving their life to Christ, being part of God's blood-washed band, they are contributing and will continue to contribute to the practice of evil that will one day enthrone the Antichrist, the son of perdition, over mankind. That pyramid is rising higher and higher and higher every day. And it is what is going to allow mankind, as mankind attempts to rise upward, this is a high place, remember that. As mankind attempts to rise upward, he is attempting to join himself with heaven, specifically with spirits that, for the time being, are in heaven. Now, we know, according to the Bible, Revelation 12, other places, that they're about to have a major address change, okay? Forward their mail, because they're fixing to come down to planet Earth, and they're not going to like it, all right? But the idea, the object, the goal, is for man to join himself with the God or a God or these gods in order for man himself to become a God, just like the devil promised in the Garden of Eden. Manasseh was doing precisely that. He was working on establishing his own new world order, building this pyramid of religious practices in order to join with Baal and Ashtaroth and all of the other gods that the Israelites were worshiping back then. Let's look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abominations of the heathen. Remember, just like your next door neighbors, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places, which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam. He made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Let's look at our breakdown again. We are now dealing with Numbers 11 and use witchcraft, and 13, and with wizards. So 12 and 13, I'm putting together here because they both deal with the idea of witchcraft, which brings him to the point of where he's going to do number 14. Set a carved image, in the idol which he had made, in the house of God. Mankind, right now, is building his own God. And that God is going to dwell in the temple of God, the very hearts and bodies of those who made it. Mankind assuredly is doing precisely what Manasseh did. And it's the witchcraft, the sorcery, the wizardry, the spell casting, the charming, all of that type of religious ritual that works together, that is building that house, building that pyramid, and establishing man's new God, who's going to be able to speak and have a desire. And that desire is, anybody that doesn't worship him is going to be killed. Okay? This beast is, this image of this beast is going to be able to do that independently. And scientists at MIT and Caltech and Hong Kong laboratories and everywhere else where research is being done, mankind right now is working on building that God, rest assured. Remember, as we look at our pyramid up on the screen, the 13 rows, then you have the capstone, which is the image. Now, a pyramid is a four-sided image, okay? It's a temple. It represents the fourth kingdom. In fact, it represents all four kingdoms, but the first, second, third, fourth. And remember, the fourth kingdom is the iron kingdom, where you have the feet of iron, but you have the toes, part iron and part clay. That's going to play into what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something today that God showed me last week, and I'm just, once you see it, you'll never forget it. From now on, you'll be able to recognize elemental witchcraft symbols. And when you see it, you can say to yourself, or you can say out loud, I know what that means. Let me show it to you in the Word of God. And that's where we're going to go today. So the pyramid is being built. It's being worked on by mankind right now. Witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, all Wicca, paganism, all using the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. We're going to see, and we're going to see how that plays out in the scriptures. And that also is a symbol for, remember, let's start here, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? That's what this temple represents. That's the gods and the deities that these pyramid builders all over the world, and I think that many of them, if not most of them, were built by the hands of people that were not really totally human. They were hybrids. They were giants. They were of the sons of God and the daughters of men. The Sumerians called them the Anunnaki. That strikes a very familiar tone with who the Bible calls the sons of Anak, that giant, famous giant, not only in the Bible, literally all over the world, all right? But anyway, this is their kingdom, this is their empire, this is their religion, and that religion is taking over right now. We've looked at all the other things. We're looking at wizardry and witchcraft. And we talked about, and I'm going to run over this very quickly this week because it builds into where I'm going. We talked about, as you take a look at this up on the screen, the witch's circle. Notice you have four witches there. They represent earth, air, fire, and water, the four elements. And they're doing their little praise and worship singing. They're doing their incantations where they take pre-designated sacred power words, and they're repeating them over and over and over and over again, just like you would hear in some of these modern churches. Then over here on the right, you have another representation of that witch's magic circle. Notice you have a cross there in the middle of it. That what's in the middle is the center point. And you have these sacred stones there on the four points, or the four corners of this circle, earth, air, fire, and water. Now stop right here, and you might say, Pastor, everybody knows you don't have corners on a circle. Well, technically you do. If you define the word corners the way the Bible defines it, we all know that a circle does not have like 90 degree corners the way a square would, right? But I want you to think about something. When you have a square, how many corners do you have? You have four, okay? And each one of those corners are 90 degrees, okay? So 4 times 90 degrees is how much? 360. How many degrees are there in a circle? 360. They're the same, right? The four corners, whether they're angled at 90 degrees as in a square, or they are simply marking four primary directions in that circle, that's what those corners are. Whenever you hear in the Bible talking about the four corners of the earth, and we know from the Bible, we know from like all the pictures that the earth is a circle, right? Okay? It has four directions, and those are the four corners. Don't believe any of this madness nonsense on YouTube about the earth being a flat square. That is contradictory to, number one, common sense. Number two, the Word of God. The earth is exactly, in fact, we pointed this out last week. The only place in the King James Bible, which is the final, authentic, authoritative Word of God, the only place where the word circle is used in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40, and it says that it's the circle of the earth. Look at it. Isaiah 40, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? Notice this in verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations there? There's four questions here. Isn't it neat? We're talking about the four elements in opposition to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew being the 40th book of the Bible, okay? And you have four questions here that's going to, and the questions are meant to reveal who God is. God is the one. Let's look at the scriptures. God is the one. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You want to know who God is? It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. Now, if we go back to these witches' circles here, they all have a point in the middle of them. And that point is where you, the witch or the wizard or the warlock, goes and puts yourself like you are God. And you are the one who can command the elements to do what you want them to do. As a witch, you are replacing God. You are becoming God. You have the spirit of the Antichrist in you. You as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing yourself that you are God. You're in the place where God is. God is the one who sitteth on the circle of the earth. The United Nations logo shows you the circle of the earth. It, by the way, it's divided up into 32 sections, and that point in the middle is number 33. Dun, 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 okay? It's a number for the Antichrist in masonry, 33 degrees, all right? But notice that the north area, the North Pole, is the center point of that circle. That's where God would be sitting. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel looked toward the north, and here comes out of the north God sitting on his throne. Why? Because he was sitting up at the north. And he decides to come down and show himself to Ezekiel, okay? So think about it. God is the one. Four questions are asked about who is God. God is the one who sits on the circle of the earth. United Nations logo has that circle of the earth and has that spot there at the North Pole empty. In their minds, that position has yet to be filled. Just like the Jews with the Messiah. To them, the Messiah is a vacant seat awaiting to be filled. Isaiah 14, look at this. Look at what Lucifer said in verse 13. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will be like the Most High. The story of witchcraft, the doctrine of witchcraft, the religion of wizardry, sorcery, witchcraft, necromancy, performing magic and spell casting and all of that stuff that goes with it, especially this getting in the circle thing, this is none other than the religion of the Antichrist itself. I really think there are two religions in the world, Bible-believing Christianity, and every other religion in the world would then fall under the category of witchcraft, because all of the other religions require performance. Performance of rituals, sacred rites, sacred words, holy words, magic words, magic spells, you name it. It requires all of that. And yet Romans 10 makes Bible Christianity simple. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe that, you see how simple that is? It's that simple. And there's a lot of fools out there who would try to come at you to remove you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So, we spent all that time setting that up. This is from last week, and I've got more information on this, so go to last week's video. And then, if you remember, the Legendary Films logo was the witch's Celtic knot, and it had the four elements in it, all knotted up, which are principalities. This is Ephesians 6. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the elementary, or the legendary movie picture, the talkies, right? Okay. Here's their website. Among the ancient Celts, it was regarded as the symbol of strength. It is to bring power and protection to those who wore it. Mesopotamian warriors associated with protective spells, invoking the gods of the four corners. There it is, the four corners of the earth in Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Where were they standing? North, south, east, and west. Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. See, he's coming from one of the corners. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I want you to remember that. Sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Because what we're talking about is the great seal. And the capstone and the four elements have everything to do with that. Okay? And when we get to the conclusion of this week, I'm going to show you that. But let's go back to Revelation 7. Verse 1, we have four angels at the four corners of the earth holding the four winds of the earth. If you watch the news like I do, you watch the weatherman. The weatherman always tells you from what direction the wind is coming from. We have winds out of the southeast blowing at about 90 miles an hour. Good grief. Okay, that's fast. But they're telling you what direction the winds are coming from. Are they coming from the north? If they come from the north, we're going to have cool air. If they come from the south, we're going to have hot air. If they come from the west, we know that they generally do, then more than likely we're going to have whatever weather they had in California, down in Arizona, New Mexico, we're going to have that weather coming from the west. If it's coming from the east, more than likely, it's because a low pressure system is moving up or moving down or coming across us, and it's whirling around counterclockwise, and it is bringing in wind from the east. And here in Missouri, we don't get wind from the east because of the jet stream. Jet stream is blowing generally northwest to southeast across the state of Missouri. If we get wind from the east, it's probably because a big, giant, low-pressure system is whirling around and bringing in rain and wind from the east. Very rare, but it happens here, okay? So we know something big is going on, and usually I feel it in my bones. But the four corners are the four directions. When witches worship, when they worship the four elements, they worship earth, air, power, earth, air, fire, and water, but they associate that with north, south, east, and west. Let's see, did I do that right? If this is north and this is south, then this is east and this is west. Okay, I'll get it right in a little bit. All right, so that brings us, we're getting to where we're going to tie this in with what we're going to show you this week. This right here, from the Encyclopedia of Witches, Witchcraft, and Wicca. The Mithraic mysteries hold that man must rule the elements before he can attain spiritual wisdom. That's what this pyramid, and that's what Manasseh was doing. Accordingly, he must successfully undergo the initiations of earth, air, water, and fire, each of which tests a different aspect of his nature and being. The Hogwarts school of witchcraft and wizardry that Harry Potter went to, Hogwarts, not related to Hogwarts, has the symbols of earth, which is green, air, which is yellow because the sun's in it, fire, which is red, and water, which is blue. You see those four colors somewhere. I don't think I'm going to get to it this week. I'll show you next week. Companies that there is no doubt in my mind that they are working towards setting the capstone on top of the pyramid. And I can identify that by way of the logo choice that they made, along with the colors that they used. They did it deliberately. And in case I or you ever had any question in our minds about it, we're going to look a little bit into what they're doing right now, and you'll go, yeah, okay, yeah, there it is, right there. I mean, that nails it. I mean, you see the symbol, and you might suspect, yeah, that, you know, that might have something to do with witchcraft. But then you find out what they're doing, and you're going, oh, yeah, yeah, they're doing witchcraft, all right? Now, take a look at the screen. In Wicca, paganism, wizardry, all of these occult religions, the four elements also represent, number one, the four seasons. Earth represents winter, which is from the north. Air represents spring. Don't you love spring air? I mean, it's like clean, and the smell, it's my favorite. The smell of the first grass mowing of the spring. Okay. Air is spring, comes from the east. Fire is summer, because it's hot, comes from the south. And water, autumn, which is represents the west. Okay. Whenever witches are inside their little magic circle and they're going to invoke the elementals, they will also be facing the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west. And the witch's calendar, and we've seen that, has, let's go back to that, where that UN logo is, the circle of the earth. You have the four primary celebrations in Wicca. You have the summer solstice. Then you have the autumn equinox. Day is 12 hours, night is 12 hours. The sun is directly over the equator again. Then you have the winter solstice, and that is, let's see if I can remember that. The sun is below the equator. And then you have the spring equinox, number three, and then back to summer solstice again. The summer solstice is the sun is over the Tropic of whatever is over Mexico. I can never remember those two. But anyways, they worship and celebrate on those high holy days. Okay? And when they do so, they are facing in certain directions. Stonehenge. Stonehenge, the pyramid at Kukulkan, Chichen Itza. I always want to say chicken pizza there. Those buildings are designed so that at various times of the year, like summer solstice or equinoxes or whatever, the sun hits the stones or the building or the pyramid at a certain angle at a certain time of day, and it only does it on this one day of the year, so that the light extends and forms a shadow. At Kukulkan, it shows a serpent descending from heaven. Okay? At Stonehenge, the stones are aligned so that, I think it's the summer solstice, first day of summer, June 21st, that sun rising in the east shines through like a hole in one of those stones, and it hits this certain spot there. And whoever built this did this thousands of years ago, and they did it precisely as a form of worshiping the sun on or about June 21st at the summer solstice. And who are they worshiping when they worship the sun? Whoever their sun god was. In the Old Testament, it was Baal. In Egypt, it was Ra, the sun god. Okay? Sun God is in Japan. He's all over. Every civilization worshiped the sun god. They all worshiped these principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places by way of the four elements, the four seasons. Most pyramids are aligned perfectly to line up, like I said, with the basis of the four directions as their alignment. Okay? Now, watch this. Here's a quote. Most all religious ideas and creeds have the elements as their base. Let me say that again. Most all religious ideas and creeds, aside from Bible Christianity, have the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, north, south, east, and west, spring, summer, fall, and winter, as their base. Whether they base their rituals on certain quote-unquote holy days, seasons, positions of the heavenly lights, or on certain locations, geomancy, ley lines, magical lines on the earth, buildings, the orientation of buildings or monuments, the four cardinal directions, or an object, all of these form the basis of elemental witchcraft. Okay? That quote was from me. I just now said it. All right? Anyway, you have Bible Christianity and its four gospels. It's the basis of everything that we believe. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The birth, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ as told in these four gospels. And it's my life. I've dedicated my life since I was a young man to living, believing, walking as a Christian, following the Word of God, trying to live the Word of God, honoring the Word of God, and preaching the gospel to anybody who wants to hear. God has given me some unique perspective to be able to show people things from the Bible that not too many people can do, to show some of the wow things of the Bible, to get people interested just so that I can minister to them the salvation by Jesus Christ, who died for their sins, who loved them even though they were worthless, hell-deserved, Satan-worshipping, evil people. God loved them so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for them. So we're dealing with that religion, a religion that is nothing but pure love from a pure God displayed in a pure Bible, taught by pure doctrine, okay, that has only one thing as its motive. I love you. I love you. God loves you unconditionally. And He wants you to be healed of all your sickening, wicked diseases, the disease of sin. He wants to give you eternal life. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what Jesus did for us. And everything in the Old Testament points you to the four Gospels. Everything in the doctrines, the New Testament, points you to the four Gospels. The four Gospels are what binds the Old and the New Testament together and makes the Bible make sense. All right? Then you have this. Who's building your pyramid for you? Nobody. You're on your own. If you're ever going to make it to meet these gods at the top, you're going to have to do it yourself. This religion is done. Jesus said, it is finished. There's nothing left for us to do except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the work's already done. Here, you'll never make it. I'm telling you, you'll work a lifetime, you'll never make it. There are people who have spent their lifetime covering all of the religious bases in the world, practicing rituals, saying magic spells, getting deep, deep into nasty, dirty, evil occult practices. And they find nothing but loneliness, emptiness, madness. Do you think Aleister Crowley died with a happy smile on his face, feeling the joy of his Lord and Savior, Lucifer? No. He died a madman. He died insane. He died a very, very tired, poor, decrepit, old man. He died in misery. And now he spends eternity in the flames of hell. That's what this got him. This is every other religion. I mean, Crowley and others, they invest their life in religious practices. They go from one to the other. They do them all simultaneously if they could. Okay? Every other religion is this right here. And it's this versus this. And I'm just telling you, this has already won. It's already in the bag. But there's yet a war to be played out, and it will be played out, and Christ will be the victor. So choose. You want to follow this? Live a life of, oh, you get to sin all you want, but you'll get to find out that sin does not do for you what you think it will. It never has for anybody. This will give you better than you ever thought of. This, it's going to be destroyed. Every one of them has been or will be. This abides forever. Let me show you that. Did you know the word elements? It's in the King James Bible. You want to take a wild guess at how many times? If you said four, you were right. I was being a little subliminal there. Okay? 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall, look at there, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Whatever's down here is going to melt. Whatever's up here is going to melt. So let's say that they succeed. Capstone is placed. We now are joining together with the heavens. Now it's going to be Shangri-La. Now it's going to be utopia. The new age has finally arrived. God's going to burn it all with fervent heat, every single bit of it. That was Peter. Paul uses the word elements twice, and he tells you, you came from that. Why would you consider going back to it? Galatians 4:3, even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. Stop right here. That right there should give you enough to say, you know what? This is nothing but bondage. Because, you know, sometimes the witch's spell doesn't work. And it's like, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And they consult with their witch mentor, and the witch mentor says, well, did you have the candles lit? Well, I had three of them. Am I supposed to light all four? Come on. Everybody knows if you don't have four candles lit, the magic's not, the spirits, the forces, the elements are not going to show up. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, that's a simple mistake. Why would you think that? And over and over and over, these people are striving for mastery, striving over and over, working harder, harder, trying to perfect themselves and perfect their craft, and it still doesn't work. Whereas in Bible Christianity, you pray, you can pray one thing, one time, and you just wait and see what God will do. There are, I won't say there are no mistaken prayers, because sometimes people ask amiss, or they ask not, or whatever. They ask to heap it upon their own lust, and God's, He doesn't have time for that. But I'm telling you that a born-again, Bible-believing son of the living God, when he asks his Father for something, he doesn't have to say the right words and say exactly what he means and proclaim boldly with exact language exactly what he wants in detail, 15 pages of small print in order to get exactly what he wants, or God won't understand it and God might give him something else. That's not how it is. Sometimes you can just say, God help. I don't know what to pray. I have no idea, but God, please help me. Are you kidding me? God is full of help. God is rich in mercy. God is the one who helps you better than what you... I can tell you that my life is a series of prayers that were prayed far too short, probably not long enough, definitely undeserved, And yet God fulfilled and is fulfilling every prayer I've ever prayed way better than I ever prayed them. And this, you're in bondage under the elements of the world. You're going to make mistakes, and those mistakes are going to cost you every time, and you're going to end up broke and without nothing because you didn't say the magic words. And here God just says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and it shall be given. Okay? It's that simple. Why would you want to be in bondage again? Galatians 4:8. Here it is. Watch this. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Let me explain that. Nature. Notice we use the word nature. Because Wicca says, oh, we bring in the elements of nature. Earth, air, fire, and water. We are nature people. We love the earth. We're all earth people. Don't harm our mother. She's our nature goddess. Okay? Service unto them which by nature are no gods. What he means by that is, they're not going to answer your prayers. They're not me. You're under the elements of bondage. You're trying to call earth, air, and fire, and water, trying to do it facing north, south, east, and west, doing it four times a year on these high holy days and on these cross quarter days, and you're doing everything you can think of, and you're still in bondage. And these gods, although they are exalted beings, they're higher than you are. They don't answer your prayers like I do. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Look at this. Look at verse 10. You observe days, months, times, and years. Let's count that. Days, one, months, two, times, three, years, four. Look at there. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You know what Paul was experiencing? Paul was experiencing the people that he sowed good seed into up in the Galatian area, the Gaul area, the churches, the French, right? He's up there sowing the good seed, and behind his back, the enemy's coming in sowing in tares among the wheat, and Paul is losing people. Paul is setting them free by giving them the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're coming into church, and the devil has sowed tares in their mind of false doctrine and is getting them to go back into the weak and beggarly elements that they just came from. See, they came out of it because it wasn't working. Now, all of a sudden, they think it's going to work. And Paul said, why would you do that? But Paul was losing people to witchcraft, albeit Jewish witchcraft. But he was losing them. If you don't believe that, watch this. Galatians, because right before in Galatians 4, when he talks about the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, he says it in the form of days, months, times, years. Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who bewitched you? Who taught you that going back and doing and trying to perform under the law? Who told you to turn again to the weak and beggarly elements and you observe time? See, we covered that one too, observing of times. That's part of it. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So these elements, four times in the King James Bible, clearly seen, clearly understood, especially when he added that days, months, times, and years. The Holy Ghost then signifying to us that the observation of these special high holy days on certain days, months, and times, and years, right? Certain years, like 2012. Remember the 2012 thing? Where it's the end of the world as we know it in 2012, and it didn't happen. Is fake. It was a setup. The Mayans, they didn't know anything. They were practicing witchcraft back then. And God, sitting on the circle of the earth, laughing at them. That is Psalm 2, I think. Because they were practicing witchcraft and it got them nowhere. And here, all these people, several hundred years later, going, oh, the Mayans said the world's going to end in 2012. X-Files, the aliens are going to invade December 2012. It's all going to be over with. No invasion. No new age coming 2012. And you know what? I'm looking at YouTube every day and I still see some of the same buffoons posting videos about certain days. Oh, we need to watch out for this day right here. So, and I'm seeing right now, September 23rd is the day to watch for. You know what that is? That's just observing times. These people are going to be as wrong. You watch this video again after September 23rd. These people are going to be just as wrong as everybody else has been on every other day, month, time and year that people have tried to pinpoint as that's the coming of the new age, or this is the releasing of this, or this is when the rapture is going to happen, or this Antichrist is going to sign a peace deal with Israel. And same people doing it over and over and over again for thousands of years. There is no new thing under the sun, and it's bondage. Witchcraft. That's what it is. Oh, these fourth weak and beggarly elements, days, months, times and years. See, the days and the months and times and years are observed by or figured, counted, understood by way of observing, I'll say it right, of observing things up in the heavens. We're going to let heaven tell us when these things are going to be. We're going to let heaven tell us what to do and how to live our lives, and they're going to rule over us. What am I talking about? Genesis chapter 1, day 4 of creation. Look at what God did. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for, let's count that, signs and for seasons and for days and years. Four things there. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. He made the stars also. He set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good in the evening and the morning. Look there, even the number 4 on the day. It was on the fourth day. You see, God is the one who created all of those heavenly lights, and he put them up there, and their motions and their circuits and the way they interact with each other. God is the one who designed that, and he designed it for us to measure, and him to measure days. Well, let me get this right here. Signs, seasons, days, and years. Paul said days, months, times, and years. Pretty much same thing. Signs, seasons, days, and years. Okay? And we measure time by the motion of the sun. We measure months. Months, the word month is after the word moon because of the movement of the moon. We measure the year based upon the position of the sun and how it moves north and south and east and west, and it does this every year. We measure a year based upon the movements and the position of the sun. We also know that every month there is a brand new set of stars right overhead of us. There's one in May, there's one in June, there's another one in July, and occultists and people like that use that. Well, so I'm a Gemini, no, I'm a Libra, I'm a Scorpio, and it's because these stars are overhead on this month when I was born, and I serve these, whatever these stars tell me to do, that's what I do. And that's bondage. That is witchcraft bondage. You're observing times. And God said, why would you want to do that? When God says, all the times are in my hand. And don't worry, because in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. When it's season, when I bring about the right season, I'll do good things in your life. And at a certain time and at a certain season, I'm going to call for you. I'm going to give you that which you have hoped for all your life. And God's going to do it in his time. It is not for me to worry about. And as far as what day it is, and what time of the month it is, and what Jewish time observation, oh, this day here, September 23rd, that's a big day on the Jewish calendar. The Jews, man, they knew it. They got, really, why'd they crucify Christ if they knew, if they were so smart? Jesus knew that the Jews were practicing Kabbalah witchcraft in his day. They had learned it from the Babylonians. They learned it from the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. They learned it from everybody that came along. Ezekiel 14, God said Jerusalem was a whore to every nation that went along. She laid with them, took in their stuff, learned from them. And those Pharisees, they were practicing Kabbalistic witchcraft Judaism in Jesus' day, and he knew it. So don't give me this stuff about all these Jewish holy days. Well, we ought to watch them because God's going to do. Don't fall for it, people. Don't fall for it. It's the observing of times. Okay? And you don't need God to only work on a certain day of the year. When God can do what he wants in your life, any day, any time, and you don't need to super worship God on certain days of the year, because then God really gets blessed from you when you super worship him on these super days. So it's witchcraft, it's bondage. We can have church. Let's see, right now it is 1:12, Wednesday, September 6th. It's when I'm recording this. I'm having myself a little church right now, worshiping God. Okay? And I don't need to wait for some high holy day when this moon and this star is in this place and this super holy day is like right here. I don't need that. I just worship God on any day. God warned Israel, when you go into the land, they're practicing religion, practices that the reason for you being in their house, sleeping in their bed, is because they were doing this. So what does that tell you? If I catch you doing this, somebody else is going to be sleeping in your bed because I won't put up with it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest, look at it, the sun, the moon, the stars, even the host of heaven, four things, sun, moon, stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them. That's what worship is, which the Lord thy God has divided into all nations under the whole heaven. You see what he's saying here? God said, you don't own the sun, moon, the stars, all the host of heaven. You don't own them. They don't own you. I actually gave them. Did you know that every civilization everywhere on the earth at every address has the same moon as we do, same stars, same sun? Although down below the equator, the moon looks different than it does above the equator. It's because of their line of sight. They're looking at it from a different angle, and I mean, all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty neat if you actually think about it, okay? But they don't own it. And certainly the sun, the moon, and the position of the stars and the host of heaven, they're not my boss. The creator of those is. He's my master. I don't serve the moon. I don't serve the stars. I don't have to wait till the sun. I don't have a sunrise service anymore. I don't do that. I don't think that I have to get up 3:00 in the morning, be at church 6:00 in the morning when everybody's yawning, trying to keep everybody awake, and have this special super worship service on at sunrise so God can feel happy about himself because I did this. I just don't believe that stuff anymore. Stay away from it as much as possible. God said, don't fall under the, and he said the four things, the sun, the moon, the stars, host of heaven. That encompasses everything, whether it's comets, meteorites, Nibiru, Planet X. People, it's bondage. I'll give you a new term. It's YouTube bondage. Okay? It's YouTube bondage. Let me show you from God's word the influence of these elemental spirits. Sun, moon, stars, host of heaven, earth, air, fire, and water, summer, winter, spring, fall, north, south, east, west, principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me show you the elemental influence over the people of Israel. In the Old Testament especially, you always recognize it by this same number. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. You'll see it. I have it here. Ah, sinful nation, that's one, people laden with iniquity, that's two, a seed of evildoers, that's three, children that are corruptors, that's four. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. You know what you know what the Bible's signifying unto you? You know what it's telling you by this, by giving you four things: sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. You know what it's telling you? They serve principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. The things that you and I are supposed to wrestle against, they're serving. I mean, look at it. Number one, a sinful nation. Number two, people laden with iniquity. Seed of evildoers. They're doing worse than their fathers ever did. Children that are corruptors. And listen, the sins of this nation has corrupted what this nation once stood for. And the greatness of our nation and our wealth and our prosperity and our ability to be the light of the gospel around the world is being corrupted by the children of corruptors, because they're worshiping and under the influence of the earth, air, fire, and water, the four elements, the four principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So look at what God said in verse 13, same chapter. Bring me no more, one, vain oblations. Number two, incense is an abomination unto me. Number three, the new moons and Sabbaths. Number four, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Now look again. Your new moons, number one, and your appointed feasts. Number two, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you, number three, spread forth your hands. Number four, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you, number four, you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You see it? You see how God breaks this down, makes it easy for you to understand? As you're reading your Bible, if you see a list of four, you just make a note and say, you know what? It's either going to represent the gospel. Let me show you. It's either going to represent children of the gospel, okay, as in 1 Peter chapter, chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also as lively stones built up a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Lively stones, spiritual house, holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices. Okay? That's who we are. Because we're children of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. I'll show you another one. Well, this is actually people that have refused the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here's what they do. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image by like unto corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Earth, air, fire, and water. North, south, east, and west. Summer, winter, spring, fall. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. And it all points you to the advent, the fourth kingdom. Back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, the vain oblations, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, okay? All of those things, those four things, vain oblations, incense, new moons and Sabbaths, and calling of assemblies, that is the religious practices of the fourth kingdom. Then he said, new moons, appointed feasts, you spread your hands, you make many prayers, the repetitive prayers, or singing the praise and worship song over and over. I was part of a service at a teen camp. Or they sang this song, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. Okay, I'm not kidding, not an exaggeration when I say they must have sang that and repeated that chorus over and over some 30 to 40 times. And at times they would bring the music down and it would get very solemn and quiet, and then it would swell and build and people were shouting and crying and screaming all over the place, and oh, that was wonderful worship, wasn't it? And yet Jesus said, don't be like the heathen. Don't do that. What? You think God can be heard by your much speaking? Do you not understand that you could sing that song one time and sing it to me, and I'll receive that as your worship of me? Do you not understand that? I don't need you to repeat it over and over and over. It's hypnotic. That's what it is. And there are other spirits who really get into that, that are different than the Holy Spirit. Fourth kingdom spirits. Daniel chapter 2. Look at Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Okay? There's going to be a showdown here. Children of the gospel versus sons of Belial. And they're identified by this number in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2, verse 1, second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Therewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call, number 1, the magicians, number 2, astrologers, number 3, sorcerers, number 4, Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Isn't it neat? You see, Nebuchadnezzar was a witchcraft practitioner. And he had as his counselors, his spiritual guides, witches, magicians, astrologers, four seasons, right? All of these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places type people. That's the spirits that these guys are under. And these spirits are so powerful. Ooh, Pastor Mike, somebody placed a curse on me. And boy, they're a very powerful witch. And I'm afraid of what they're going to do to me. They placed a curse on me. Don't. Isn't that powerful? These guys were so into the spirit realm and could see so much that all Nebuchadnezzar had to do was remember the dream that he had, and they would interpret it for him. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, I tell you what, guys. I think I'm about to have a revelation here. You guys have been my counselors for a while. And he said, I'm starting to see how you work. So I tell you what. I don't remember the dream. And if you guys really had this power, then whatever spirit you prayed to would be able to know what dream I had, because it came from them, or at least we think it came from them. And if it came from them, surely they would remember it. So why don't you guys ask these gods or these spirits that you pray to, and then you come tell me what I dreamt. Oh, king, no king has ever asked anything such of his counselors, of his astrologers. You know, we've never done it that way before. You have to tell us the dream, and then he said, if you don't tell me what I dreamt and what the interpretation is, then I'll know that all this time you've prepared corrupt and lying words to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Astrology? Witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery. It's why this kingdom won't work. It's powerless. It doesn't have the answers. It doesn't have all the secrets. It's not going to reveal everything. There's only one source for that. This book right here. This book that the builders have all rejected. They've cast it aside. All the pastors decided to build a new church, but they're not going to use the Bible to do it because they rejected it. You, at one time of your life, you probably rejected the book. But then, you know what? You're like me. You found it again one day. And it changed your life. So the king's angry, and he calls out and he says, all right, all my counselors, gather around. Got something to tell you, okay? I had a dream. You guys say you want me to tell you the dream. I can't remember the dream. So here's what I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've about had enough of keeping you guys on the payroll. So if you don't come up by tomorrow telling me what I dreamt and the interpretation of it, I'm not going to fire you. Okay? I am, however, going to kill you and your family and all their friends. Burn your house down. Okay? That's what I'll do. Actually, he just said he would kill him. Okay, I'm just adding the dramatic effect here. Daniel goes to, let's read it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah. Look how many people there. 1, 2, 3, 4. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And you know, they didn't conduct any rituals. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they didn't conduct any rituals. They didn't take eye of newt and bat's blood and mosquito wing and whatever and boil it in a cauldron. They didn't draw a circle and say a Honi the circle maker prayer to God. They just simply got on their face and they said, God, we would like to be alive this time tomorrow night. And only you can do that for us. So God, in your mercy, will you show at least one of us what the king dreamed? And that was it. And God said, Daniel, watch this. Boom! I searched in all the occult books, all the Mason books, for the secret of Masonry. I thought, surely, if I can get my hands on some of their books, surely they got it in there. They didn't write it down anywhere. I had a pastor friend of mine. I remember it like it was yesterday. I told him, I said, brother, I said, I got a hunch. I said, I'm looking for the secret of Masonry, but I've determined that they didn't write it in any of their books. But I got a hunch. I think I know where it is. He said, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I said, I think I am. And we both said it about the same time, the Bible. I said, yep. If I'm going to find it, and we'll find it in the scriptures. And I just prayed. I didn't draw a circle. Didn't pay extra tithes that week. I just said, God, I don't deserve anything. Not on the basis of my righteousness, but Father, on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, and for the benefit of your people, I would like to know their secret. I would like to know what their symbols mean. What is that square and compass joined together in that G's? What is all that? Why do they shake their hands in funny ways? Why do they make numerical signs? What is that 33 all about? That double-headed eagle, what is that? Okay? And God, if you are inclined to, I'd like for you to show me their secret. Show it to me in the Word. That way I know it's true. Now, He didn't give it to me right then. He did not give it to me the next day. But I, every now and then, I think about it and I pray about it. And I remember God finally said, you want to know the secret? I said, yeah, I didn't want to know their secret. God said, we're going to study a word. I said, okay, what word is it? Secret. Okay. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, let's count, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And here's the, and I went, that's the secret. That's where it is. Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Pay attention to that. I want to show you something that I got undeserved. Undeserved, unritualized. I drew no circle. I waited not until a feast day, a holy day, the new moon. I didn't, none of that. Okay? The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with miry clay. And I remember, that's it. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's what that is. They, fourth kingdom, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wicked, and high places. They're going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's, they in heaven are going to mingle themselves with the people of earth, square and compass. Albert Pike said this, that, you know, points up, that's heaven. That's the male principle, sons of God. This V thing, that's the female, okay? Like the female, whatever, okay? Anyway, that's the earth, and it's heaven and earth fused together, joined together, mingled them, they've mingled themselves together, and I'm going, it's it, that's fit, it works. Now, I'm going to show you this, and I'm going to let you have it for a day. take a look at these symbols. These are all the symbols of the elements. You have four triangles. Two of the triangles point up. Two of the triangles point down. You see that graphic on the right, okay? You have all these, I mean, Masonic, occult symbols, alchemical symbols, Rosicrucian symbols, pagan symbols. I mean, it's like every religion is right here on this one little card here. You have the two pillars, Jachin and Boaz, right? Remember what the, stop, remember what those are. Those are your two chromosomes, your two chromosome pairs. There's 46 of them, and they're in pairs. And remember, Jachin was 23 cubits tall. Boaz, 23 cubits tall. And the Masons say, you know where our secret is? It's in Jachin and Boaz. Wink, wink, wink. Although we're not going to tell you what that means, and you'll never figure it out. And then you look at Jachin and Boaz. There's vines wrapped around. What do those vines look like? They look like DNA. Seed of men. See it? Only one of them has got the sun on top, and the other one's got the moon on top. They're opposites. The sun is always rendered as a masculine figure in the Bible, and the moon is always rendered as a feminine figure in the Bible. Always, without fail. Okay? The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Male and female, yin and yang, positive and negative. And then at the top and in the bottom, like of Jachin, you see one triangle pointed up at the bottom with a line through it, and one triangle pointing up at the top with no line through it. And then on Boaz, at the top, you have a triangle pointing down, no line through it, and at the bottom, you have a triangle pointing down with a line through it. And then you see the necklaces here. A triangle pointing down with a line through it. A triangle pointing down, no line through it. Triangle pointing up, no line through it. A triangle pointing up with a line through it. And I was just going to say, like, well, I think it just, like, denotes that they're different. The line through two of these, I know what it means. It's like so simple. If I were to take this pyramid, here is earth and air. These would be like the two triangles with no line through them. One pointing up, one pointing down. Take this and put a line through it right here. Okay, take a look at it. You know what I just did to this triangle? Divided it. It's in part. Look at this graphic. The kingdom shall be divided, partly strong, partly broken. That's what the lines through two of the triangles represent, air and earth. See, air and water are opposites. See, one's pointing up, one pointing down, right? Notice that air is paired with water because they're opposites, but air is part, it's divided. The kingdom is divided and broken. It's partly strong. We have two of them that are strong and two of them that are weak. So the kingdom itself is partly strong and partly weak. All right, here's another representation of it. You see that they represent the masculine and the feminine, earth, air, fire, and water. And what it means, it's in the Bible. These secrets are all in the Bible. And all of you who have written me over the years and said, Pastor Mike, we think you already know this, but we saw this in the Bible. And I'm going, I never saw that before. That is absolutely incredible. God bless you for your study of the Word. You know, what ritual did you do? Because I would like to do that same ritual so I could get stuff like that. We didn't do rituals. We didn't draw circles. We didn't wait till summer solstice. We were just reading the Bible one day. A little doodad's going up our neck because God showed us something. And we wept because we didn't deserve that. God, why'd you show me that? Because I love you and I like showing you. I want to keep you interested in the Bible. I want to increase your faith. I want to show you how special that book is. And I want to add awareness to you. I just want to do things for you because I love you. That's how God is. That's what He does. But God, I don't deserve it. I know. I know. But I love you anyway. See, my grandchildren, are turning out evil, wicked, hell-deserving little sinners. And Peepaw sees it. I still give them candy every day. Not that they didn't deserve it. In fact, I'll come in one day and one of my children will say, Dad, your grandson's not getting candy this morning. Now look at them so soft and sweetly and say, look, they're your children. I'm sure that you're pretty upset with them. If you want to withhold things from them, I welcome you to do that. I think you ought to train them right and teach them. But I'm grandpa, and I'm going to give them candy. Okay, Dad, you can, but I'm not. I'll tell you that right now. And don't do it then. My religion's better. It's easier. It has more peace to it. It has eternal life. It doesn't require all of this work in order to accomplish great things. It just requires you to trust the one who already has done all the work and the one who will build. You see, the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. These poor people over here are laboring and trying to build the house that'll reach up to heaven to join with the gods, right? It's all going to be in vain. Meanwhile, God is building His own house. He's doing it for us, free of charge. Don't deserve it, but He's going to give it to us anyway. I think it's better, okay? I think it's better. Where do you see where this stuff shows up? Okay, that's what I'm going to show you next week, all right? Why do I do all this? Because I love God, I serve Him, because He has already given me so much, I couldn't ask for anything else. But I love God's people, and I even love lost people that you might have drifted this way and are watching this video, and you've never seen anything I've ever done, and you're going, I've been looking for that stuff all my life. Where'd you find that at? Who taught you this? King James Bible did. That's where I got it. Every bit of it. Okay? And I want you to have this. I want you to have what I have and do greater things with it. All right? Do it because we love you. We thank you for loving us and for praying for us and for supporting us. Keep it up. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.